It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Time for a quick take. LeBron James hurt his right foot in their win over the Mavs Sunday. Is feared to be out several weeks. That according to our Adrian Wojnarowski. JJ, is the Lakers season over now?
Well, unlike some of my colleagues here on this show, I never thought the Lakers would get as high as the sixth seed. But I don't think their season is over. If Anthony Davis can stay healthy, this roster is much more equipped to handle an extended LeBron absence. And they have the easiest schedule in the NBA remaining, so I still think they can get in the playing game. It should be noted that when LeBron James doesn't play for the Lakers in his 4 years, their winning percentage is 36.7%. But the roster's better now post-trade deadline.
Okay, fair enough. Let's stay in the West. And we're dealing with some technical difficulties with Stephen A's camera, but we'll get that set. Monty Williams says KD is itching to get on the court with his new teammates, and it's possible that tomorrow against the Hornets will be the day we see what the new big three in the West will look like. Yesterday, we had Charles Barkley on First Take. He had a lot to say about Phoenix's newest star.
He's an all-time great, but when it comes to being mentioned with some of these other guys, he's going to have to win a championship where he's the leader of the team and he's the best player. He can't join a 70-some win team and then win a couple championships. But everywhere else he's been, he hasn't been successful. So that's the standard I hold him to. If he want to be on a level with LeBron and Kobe and those guys, he going to have to be the best player as the leader.
Okay. That was a lot of fun having Charles on the show for 30 minutes. KD hopped on Twitter, chimed in saying, I don't remember Bron saying this. Somebody linked the article to me. Okay. So KD's looking for some receipts on that. So, America, just to let you know, while that sound was playing, I was getting a lot of neck stretching and eye rolls. And I didn't even say who it was.
Can I have some of your popcorn? Because I'm ready for this. I'm ready to be educated.
I didn't even say it was.
Oh,
a guilty conscience needs no accuser.
Right, I gave
okay,
it away.
That's what's happening. JJ, could you explain this for me? Does KD need to be the leader of the Suns?
Well, I don't want to put words in Charles's mouth, and I respect everything that Charles has done for the game of basketball, both as a player and as a media personality. And I appreciate him so much. Everything he says is from the heart, and I don't think Charles comes into anything with an agenda. I think Charles's definition of what a leader is, I would like a little more clarification on that. So if we're talking about the best player versus a leader in the traditional sense of someone who yells and screams or someone who rallies the troops and makes everybody accountable, KD's not going to be that guy. Best player on a championship team, he's already been that guy twice. And the revisionist history around that, I'm the world's biggest Steph Curry fan. Draymond said it himself. They're not beating those Cavs teams in 17 and 18 without KD. Those are Draymond's words, not mine, okay? KD was the best player. There's a reason he won two finals MVPs. So because he went to the 73-win team, because they eliminated him, we've changed the standard for KD. He's now got to win it, on his own or whatever. For him in Phoenix, I think the best example, and I was thinking about it this morning, the best example in the modern era, I look at that 2019 Toronto Raptors team. Kawhi had to do was be the best player on that team. There was already a culture in place. They had great leadership in Kyle Lowry. They brought on Marc Gasol. They had a great coach in Nick Nurse. And if you look at this Phoenix team, there's a culture in place with this basketball team due to Monty Williams, due to Chris Paul, due to Devin Booker. There's already leadership in place. And KD, the leader, I want to be clear on this. There are different forms of leadership. Mm-hmm. And one form of leadership is how you go about your craft. KD's form of leadership by example, to me, is undisputed. Everyone I've ever talked to about Kevin, in the limited time I've been around him on a basketball court, the way he approaches basketball, that is the definition of leading by example. So to me, this is a perfect situation for him. And yes, he will be the best player. And if they win, he will be the best player on a championship team now for the third time, just in a very different scenario than in 17 and 18 with the Golden State Warriors.
Retweet. Amen. I mean, I think you nailed it, JJ. And we had this conversation earlier with Greeny a bit. This idea of leader is for us. It's not for KD. Like, he's very content showing up and playing basketball. And you're right. I can remember last season when Jeremy Grant was with the Pistons, he talked about the opportunity to watch KD during the Olympic teams. And Jeff Van Gundy was on the call with us then too. And Jeremy didn't mention KD specifically, but Jeff immediately said when I recapped the story, oh, he's talking about KD. Because what you see in terms of his commitment to the game, his professionalism, his care for his craft, all of that is tremendous leadership. We have moved so far beyond like, oh, it was your team because you called the timeouts and you got in guys' faces. Like, I understand where Chuck is coming from. I truly do. But I think ultimately when we have the conversations of the greats in our game, it will be about rings for so many of us. And if he finds the path that leads to the most success and the most happiness, then kudos to him. So I think that's our problem in terms of how we view him as far as leadership goes.
Yeah, and I want to add one thing from my perspective as a player that played 15 years.
Yeah.
And this is hopefully what I can bring sometimes to this show. I've been in a lot of locker rooms. Mm-hmm. The best player, more often than not, is not the leader of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll use Dwight Howard as an example. Dwight was a great teammate. We won a lot in Orlando. We got to the finals. We got to the conference finals. We had a great five-year run. Rashard Lewis and Jameer Nelson were the leaders of those teams. I was very young in my career. I didn't have leadership responsibility. Later on in my career, when I got to Philly, Joel Embiid was our best player. Joel Embiid was not the leader of our team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one situation I was in where the best player, or, you know, however you look at Chris and Blake, the best player was also the leader, was in L.A. with Chris. That was the only time where I was like, the definitive best player is the definitive leader.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's actually more rare. You need guys. I mentioned Kawhi. Like, you need guys like Kyle Lowry. You need guys like Marc Gasol. You need voices in a locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Often the responsibilities of the best player get, you know, the leadership responsibilities get passed off to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Dudley and I talk about that all the time. You know, Jared went to L.A.
Yep.
The year they, you know, in 2021, the year after they won.
Mm-hmm.
And his thing was, I'm going to take that load off of LeBron because we got younger guys. I'm going to take some of that responsibility off of LeBron. That's how locker rooms work.
Yeah.
It's not always the best player that is having team meetings or hosting team dinners or yelling and screaming in timeouts. It doesn't work that way.
Mm.
And so if that's the definition Charles is using, it's not going to apply to KD.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah.
Stephen A., you got us?
Well, it's a lot that needs to be said here because there's a lot that's not being said by both JJ and Monica. Here's the deal. You're absolutely right in terms of the best player doesn't need to be the leader. Kawhi Leonard certainly was not the leader in Toronto, and all of those other examples that you brought up, JJ, you're absolutely positively on point. There's no disagreement there. So I disagreed with Charles Barkley about that. I totally get you. But I think that you also have to compartmentalize what he says as opposed to doing what you are customarily used to doing, JJ Redick, which is being so literal. Now, Charles Barkley might have been wrong in terms of the general statement that he made. But when he's talking about KD, even though I still agree with him, still disagree with him now in Phoenix, it doesn't mean that we get to ignore what transpired in Brooklyn. Because in Brooklyn, he needed to be the leader. In Brooklyn, that was necessary. Because without him being that dude, you were deferential to Kyrie. And we all see how that panned out. And so if you're Charles Barkley, again, with the both of you, completely disagreeing with him from a general perspective and completely disagreeing with him about KD in Phoenix, The fact of the matter is you are allowed to compartmentalize from time to time when you're looking at your specific role with a specific team because of how they're constructed and what role you played in its construction. If you just sat up there and said, you know something, I want to go to Brooklyn. All right, I don't mind. I'm a ball player. I want a ball in Brooklyn. That's fine. But everybody and their grandmother knows that you made it clear you and Kyrie were a package deal. And all the reports and all the news and everything that has transpired showed how Kyrie used that cachet and felt that that could elevate him to such a degree that he could say and do a lot of things that one would say he should not have said and done in his tenure in Brooklyn. And somewhere along the line, somebody is asking, yo, KD, the two-time champion, the two-time NBA Finals MVP, one of the greatest players on the planet, and as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest players we've ever seen in the history of the NBA. Are you just going to sit by and say nothing and just play ball? That's not what's going to get it done in this particular situation. And last but not least, and this is something that I'm going to bring up, and I brought up this point before, which neither of you have disagreed with before. I hope you don't disagree with it now. What is amazing to me, and I think this is worth noting, everybody who says they want to just play ball and that the responsibility should be on other people's shoulders rarely take that position when they go to the negotiating table. It's a team. We're all in this together. We're all equals, blah, blah, blah. But that's not what you do when you go to the negotiating table. When you go to the negotiating table and you're looking to get your bag, what you're saying is you're worth exponentially more than others. Well, with that comes some obligations in a lot of people's mind. Maybe not you as a player, JJ, but as fans that watch the game, they do feel that way. My perfect example to that, JJ, would be load management and what we were talking about. I defer to you to crystallize what the load management issue was for the viewer and the spectator and the fan out there. But even you had to acknowledge there were fans that justifiably feel what they feel, even if they're not completely on point. As a fan, if you're looking at the sport, you're going to feel an inherent right to believe whatever it is that you believe from time to time. That's what comes with it, guys. And you got to recognize that as an athlete and as a former athlete.
Okay. A few things. I'll be as quick as possible because I want to let Monica jump in.
Take it.
We can also, guys, we can always go to commercial break and come back.
So take it.
Do your thing.
So, yeah. So in regards to load management, like I said last week, it is a real problem. And I empathize greatly with fans on this issue. And as I said last week, and I'll add on one thing real quick on that, because this has been a discussion point with a bunch of people around the NBA. I've talked to a number of folks. I've seen discourse online about it. I want to note that the culture around load management was not created by the players. And so what has happened is young players now in the league, not guys that started in 06 like I did or 03 like LeBron or 2012, young players coming into the league now, they only know one culture. That was not created by the players. I just want to note that. When you talk about the negotiating table, I don't even know what your point is. Players are paid based on their output. Players are paid based on their output, based on their talent. A future salary is based on your future projection of output. That's all it is, Stephen A. Every team knows the person and the player they are signing. It's called team building. That's why you bring in other guys. That's why vets are so important in the locker room. That's why having somebody that's on the floor, that's maybe not your best player, does have good leadership qualities. It's amazing to me. It really is. Given how good that Brooklyn team was and given how we look back at that Bucks series, somehow it's Kevin Durant's fault as a leader that Kyrie sprains his ankle, James is playing with a bad hamstring. It's Kevin Durant's fault as a leader that New York City puts a vaccine mandate in place and Kyrie Irving refuses to take it. It's Kevin Durant's fault. That's what you're saying. As a leader. No, I want – that's what you're saying.
That is not what I'm saying.
Hold on. Here's what we're going to do.
That is not what I'm saying.
Stephen A., I know you want to respond. Please let me get into commercial break, and we're going to come right back to this. All right. Picking up where we –
brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Left off with a really interesting debate, and I'm just going to quote JJ, and then Stephen A., you can respond. Essentially, his last point was that, and I want to read it to not misquote you, it's not Katie's lack of leadership that caused the unforeseen circumstances that the Nets had to deal with this past season. So your response to him.
Well, my response is that JJ's entitled to look at it the way he wants to look at it, and I'm entitled to look at it the way I want to look at it. The fact of the matter is I never once sat up there and said that KD is responsible for the things that Kyrie has done. I don't blame Kevin Durant for what transpired. Kevin Durant is a baller. He wants to ball all day, every day. Okay? The only time he's been out is when he's legitimately been hurt. Outside of that, this brother wants to play. He don't want to miss games. That's who he is. And we know what a superstar he is. What I was saying was is that you're the reason that Kyrie Irving is there. And Kyrie used the cachet that Kevin Durant had with the organization to get his way or try to get his way in some instances. These are all things that have been reported. I refuse to go back and forth about that issue because that's revisiting years and years of First Takes and other news reports that have been out there for years. The fact of the matter is because Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving had the relationship that they had with one another, Kyrie Irving felt that he was in a position to do things that some would find questionable. And so as a result of that, all I'm saying is that if you're the reason that Kyrie's there, you're the face of the franchise and you're the superstar, and then things fell awry and got to a point where all you have to show for 3.5 years work is one playoff series victory, all right? And we know that the second day, I think they would have beat Milwaukee and won the championship personally if Kyrie hadn't hurt his ankle. But that's a different story for another day. My point is, at the end of the day, if that's all you have to show for it, look at New York. Ask the New York citizens. Look at the reports and everything else. People were like, yo, this is a failure. This is an abject failure. Now, whether you want to absorb it that way is your business. What I'm saying is the expectations that we had when KD and Kyrie first arrived in Brooklyn weren't necessarily met. And so when we talk about a superstar who's the face of a franchise, what you're ultimately saying is that you're not completely absolved from a situation like that that didn't work out as flagrantly as it worked out. That doesn't mean Kevin Durant is completely at fault. That doesn't mean he's mostly at fault. That doesn't mean we don't appreciate his greatness. We're just saying, damn, we expected a lot more than we ended up having. It's not a crime to feel that way.
Okay, you kind of changed the topic here. You're saying I disagree
I
with you on
you
the point.
State that hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on,
hold on, hold on. You're saying I somehow disagree with you on the statement that the Nets were an abject failure. Like that's actually what you just said. I want to be clear on that. That's not what we're talking about. And yes, the Nets were. Okay, I just want to be clear on that. We are talking about Chuck's comments, whether or not KD needs to be a leader in Phoenix, and that's something that he's got to prove that he is.
And we agree on that.
And we agree that he doesn't need to be a leader because they have the infrastructure in place.
Correct.
Okay. So let's go back to the Brooklyn topic.
But you had issue with what I said about when you go to the negotiating table.
I did have issues with that.
You go to
and I did have issues with that. And I will acknowledge something because you brought up something else. The face of the franchise. You're 100% correct, Stephen A. On the point that there are a lot of responsibilities as a franchise player. There's a lot of responsibilities as a max player. And some guys live up to those responsibilities. Some guys don't. My point is that if you know who Kevin Durant is, if you know who Kyrie is, it's the responsibility of those guys to show up for work and to lead in their specific way, 100%. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you're blaming Kevin, and I've heard you say this multiple times, for Kyrie's behavior. That is always the insinuation with you, and I don't think that's fair. That is what I'm saying. Now, if you want to say Kevin Durant, he made the wrong decision in teaming up with Kyrie. He knew what he was getting into, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think you have a decent argument there, given what transpired in Boston. Like, okay, yeah, I could see some of that. But to blame and insinuate that it's Kevin's fault for Kyrie's behavior, I don't think you could put those two together. Is there a correlation? Potentially, okay. Yeah. I get what you're saying, because okay. He was brought on because Kevin was brought on. I get what you're saying. Right. But the blame that you've insinuated now, I've been on this show for two seasons, I hear it all the time from you. I don't agree with it. That's my point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, first of all, a couple of things. Number one, 1 minute you said I said, and then the next thing you said I insinuate. Those are two different things. Okay? If you want to say I insinuate or said, all right, those are two different things. Pick one.
You do both. You do both.
I've never – okay, fine. My point to you is this. You can look at it that way. Fine. My point, I don't care. It doesn't bother me if Kevin Durant has a problem with it. Anybody has a problem with it. What I am simply saying, just for clarity purposes, the brunt of the blame for what transpired in Brooklyn is no doubt Kyrie Irving. What I have tried to say to you and others about Kevin Durant is that you don't get to completely absolve yourself from a situation that entailed all that it entailed in Brooklyn. When you're the reason, you're part of the reason it happened, because your name and your cachet was used to, dare I say, abuse privileges. If the old man in the three, big time podcast, making noise, doing great work. You understand what I'm saying? Can't wait to have you on my podcast to talk about it, to be quite honest with you. Let me be very, very clear. If somebody is out there acting up, and they're using your name to get away with their acting up, and you do nothing, I'm sorry, JJ, that makes you kind of culpable, because they used you in order to try and pull it off. And that's all I'm trying to say. Now, if you want to psychoanalyze and dissect
it in such a way, we're parsing words
and all, I get that. If you're doing that, that's your prerogative. I'm simply saying, Kevin Durant was the face of the franchise. You knew that under no circumstances did you want to upset him. Whatever he wants, we're willing to give, because we value him that much. Even if it means taking somebody and dealing with stuff from that somebody that we would prefer not to deal with. Is anyone on this show right now going to deny that that's what happened in Brooklyn?
I want to be clear that I'm not saying Kevin Durant is without any blame for what went down in Brooklyn. I'm simply talking about the topic at hand. You and I, and you make points that I agree with, you make points I disagree with. I have a different perspective on this than you. I do. And that's fine. I agree to disagree on this with you, Stephen. No hard feelings.
That's why we do what we do. None at all.
I just want to know who wants to be my popcorn sponsor next time.
You know what's crazy
is
I have this lunchbox. You know, the lunchbox has debuted on the show before.
We love the lunchbox.
And it actually had popcorn in it, but I gave it away. But before you guys go, and I can't wait to see you host. You're filling in for Max today.
Thanks,
this just
Molly.
In. That'll be a lot of fun. There was some other sound. Can I get you to react to? Kendrick
love
Perkins
to.
Had an interesting take on the Joker last week on our show. Listen up.
When I watch the games, I'm watching Jokic pass the ball, and I'm watching his guys catch and shoot, no hesitation, good or bad shot. And let me tell you one thing. It goes on, conversations goes on in that locker room, and players know where their stats are.
Are you sitting here and saying Nikola Jokic is having his numbers padded? Is that what you're saying?
You heard what the hell I said. I said he had eight games where he had single digit shot attempts. And for a while, it was 9.5 assists he was averaging, 9.8. And all of a sudden, I saw those shot attempts and his points go down, and I started to see his assists go up.
I'll be quick.
Okay, that was a great follow-up by Stephen A. And then it was, you heard what the hell I said.
Oh, no,
so,
Perk.
Jay, do you agree with Perk on the idea that Jokic is stat padding?
Love Perk. I strongly disagree with this. Look, I've never been Nikola Jokic's teammate. If you ask anyone that's been around him, heck, I did it on Sunday night with Michael Malone. Nikola Jokic does not care about stats, does not care about averaging a triple-double. Nikola Jokic, I hate to tell everyone, doesn't care about winning an MVP. He cares about winning a championship. The idea that he's stat padding. Coach Malone, this is how he described the game. This is how he described Nikola Jokic's game. He doesn't fight the game. Mm. He just makes the right play every time. He compared his basketball IQ to LeBron. This is not a guy that cares about stat padding, Perk. And the best argument I can make of why this is such a ludicrous statement, they're 23-0 when he has a triple-double. Going back to last year, they've won 28 games in a row when he has a triple-double. If we're going to make up narratives about players, like, I know Perk is on this Joel Embiid's the MVP rant. I know he's on this thing. But, like, let's not make up a narrative about a player that is just so unbased in reality. Perk, I love you, but no.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of a country phrase to say that is equivalent to Perk being a hater. But go ahead, Stephen A.
Well. I will tell you, I completely agree with JJ on this. I've never seen nor talked to anyone who's made the slightest indication about Jokic in that regard. My only critique about Jokic is one thing and one thing only. You're the reigning two-time league MVP. You win a third straight MVP. At some point in time, you got to get to the finals when you're doing that. That's it. Outside of that, I have nothing to say about Jokic, who is phenomenal.
So here's the good news. JJ's with us every Tuesday and Wednesday. Perk's here every Monday and Friday. If we got to talk to the NBA folks, we got to be here on the same day. We can just keep responding and keep having the best sports debate on television. All right. You're dismissed.
I'm out.
Go get ready for this just in.
Thank you.
You need to sit tight.
Regardless, but I got you.
We're going to transit.
I got you.
You know. Oh, you're actually also dismissed, I'm told, too, JJ.
I'm clear.
You're free. Okay. This is great. Welcome back to First Take. We're in week.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com. 3 of the XFL season, and there's been some exciting football. One team to keep an eye on are the St. Louis Battlehawks, who have started the season 2-0 thanks to the play of their quarterback, A.J. McCarron, who's led them to 2 come-from-behind game-winning drives. Football fans, of course, you remember A.J. He was the first quarterback to win back-to-back BCS National Championship games and was a quarterback in the NFL for almost a decade, 9 seasons, most notably playing for the Bengals from 2014 to 2017. Now, after his first win in the XFL, AJ gave his why for his decision to join the league. Take a listen to this.
One of your biggest whys was your family, playing in front of your boys. You sprinted over here. Here they come right now. He's going to get you. What does that mean to be able to do this in front of them?
It's awesome.
Look at those guys.
Man. It means a lot. So.
That's why you made the decision, brother. Congratulations. That's beautiful. Go spend time with your family.
All right. And on that note, we welcome A.J. McCarron to the show. A.J., thank you so much for being with us. And that was such a beautiful moment. And I think the why in life is sometimes so underrated, but it's so important. So to see that and to know you took a huge pay cut, right, coming from the NFL to play in the XFL and seeing you out there with your kids. Just how has this whole experience been for you with the XFL?
It's been unbelievable. The XFL has been first class and everything they've done so far. And for me, it's just been a moment that I've always dreamed of ever since I had my oldest trip and being able to play, you know, wait for him to get to that age where he knows what's going on, and him being able to watch daddy play football and a game I've played since the age of 3 myself. So it's just been special for us.
AJ, thank you for being on the show, man. It's always good to see you. You know, I really want you to highlight for the viewer out there, what is it about the XFL that makes it so much fun? I mean, I'm thinking about the 3-point conversion. I like that rule. But I want you to talk about just the game overall compared to the NFL and what makes it fun, not just to watch, but to be a part of. Can you crystallize that for the viewer?
Yeah, I think the fact that, you know, the NFL itself tried to figure out ways to make the game more entertaining, you know, for them and its viewers, right? Like, you had the extra point that was so close, and then they decided, all right, well, too many kickers are making the extra point. It's too high of a percentage. Like, how do we change that? And they moved it back. So I think the XFL, you know, coming up with different ways to make the game more entertaining. And then having like the 4th and 15 play from your own 25 instead of an onside kick option. It was really for the XFL, our game 1 week was almost teach tape and all of their rule changes that are completely different from the NFL. So it's just been fun to be a part of. Like, it's a whole new learning process for myself and a bunch of guys on this team. And, we're kind of taking everything in stride, but being a part of this team and the fan base of St. Louis, I can't wait to get back home to St. Louis and have a home game for sure.
But, AJ, not just 2-0, you led your team to 2 come-from-behind wins. So how did that NFL experience translate and put on a show for those fans?
Yeah, it definitely helps. Listen, I've played in a lot of big games, playing in the wild card game my time during Cincinnati, and us playing against Pittsburgh, and that being a last minute drive type game as well, and a lot of big games in college. So it's just something that I've been a part of my whole life. I think everybody seeing, you know, not only our coaching staff and then me as the quarterback on the field, just us staying cool, calm, collected. I always say that to our guys, and you can't do this without your teammates. And they've been absolutely unbelievable. Guys making plays out wide, the big fellas up front giving me time, and it's just been a special 2 weeks for sure.
Well, it's good to see you playing, and for people who forget, you're a two-time national champion from Alabama. Let me make sure I remember to remind everybody about that. But having said all of that, AJ, I got to ask you this question before I let you go, because I'm a big-time Dwayne Johnson fan, The Rock, and obviously we know his role in this league and what have you. When you look at the National Football League, on far too many occasions, some people will lament ownership. Some people will lament people that run the league, and, you know, it there seems to be a detachment there from time to time. With Dwayne Johnson, clearly that doesn't appear to be the case. He seems to be very inspirational to the players, and obviously inspirational to a fan base out there that wants to give you guys as a league a chance to succeed. Talk about what he's meant to the XFL in the eyes of not just yourself, but players collectively.
Yeah, listen, we all grew up watching, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and being a WWE fan back in those days was somebody you just looked up to, and but the passion he brings for our league, not only, you know, him, but Miss Danny as well, our chairwoman, like our whole ownership has just been first class. And them listening to players, trying to figure out better ways to, you know, help the whole process, help our game, get the best for the players in the league. It's been unbelievable. And Dwayne has been a guy that inspires so many people, right? And the passion he brings, you know, flying to each home game, first home game, the first week, and then them coming this past week. It's just, you see the passion they have, and that's only going to fuel the whole entire league and set up for success, you know, many seasons past this one.
Absolutely. AJ, if any folks at home were on the fence, it sounds like they'll be signing up after hearing from you. And of course, you can check out the Battle Hawks Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern. That's on FX and on ESPN as well. Thank you so much for being with us. Best of luck the rest of the season.
Good to see you, AJ.
Appreciate y'all. Thank y'all.
To Aaron Rodgers, he is still too shit. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Light on what he wants to do this season, given his three options: return to Green Bay, request a trade, or retire. Rodgers, with 2 years left on his contract, needs to express to the Packers that he wants to stay and continue to build with the young wide receiver core he now has, or ask the Packers to explore a trade with a team such as the very interested Jets. However, former Jets Hall of Famer Joe Klecko wants the Jets to stay far away from the four-time MVP.
I just don't see a guy that has the baggage that Aaron Rodgers has in his personal life and how he's treated the Green Bay Packers, who have gave him everything there is. I mean, I just don't think it fits with these young guys. You can hurt them as much as help them. You know, you compare him to Brady. The idea when Brady went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was to win a Super Bowl. A guy like him is going to uplift people. I just can't see that in Aaron Rodgers. I just can't.
Could hurt him more than help him. There's my guy. Tim Hasselbeck with us now. Tim, so great to see you. Hope you and the fam are well. I'm going to keep the pleasantries at a minimum because I don't have a ton of time, and I want your reaction. Do you agree with Klecko's comments?
No, I don't agree with Klecko's comments. To be honest with you, for an old-school guy, I'm a little surprised by him. Like Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay and only complimented anybody that ever, you know, played with him down there. That's not what happened. And, you know, as far as Aaron Rodgers and his baggage, I don't know what his baggage is. Look, he had a down year this past year. I get it. But he has the three previous seasons, he dominated the National Football League. I mean, absolutely dominated through like 136 touchdowns and 19 interceptions over the previous three seasons. And I would say this, that anybody that's in that Jets locker room, that they're associated with that organization, that's worried about some of these young players might feel like Aaron Rodgers is too hard on them, I think they would enjoy the success that Aaron Rodgers would help them achieve. Garrett Wilson caught four touchdown passes this past year. Four. Like the team as a whole only threw 15. Aaron Rodgers, in an absolutely horrible season by his standards, threw 26 touchdown passes. So I actually think the guys on that football team are being held back by their quarterback play, and they would love to get better quarterback play out of someone like Aaron Rodgers.
Well, first of all, to say that I agree, first of all, Tim, it's good to see you, buddy. Secondly, to say that I agree with you, Tim, is a gross understatement. I completely 1,000% agree with you, and I'll take it a step further. Joe Klecko, congratulations, because I understand you were there with the Gastineau dance and everything like that, and you got to a conference title game in 1982. I get all of that. But this might qualify as one of the most ignorant statements I've ever heard from a football player in my life. I mean, it's up there. It really, really is. So let me get this straight. This Jets franchise that hasn't won a Super Bowl since 1969, hasn't been to the Super Bowl since 1969, has been to four conference championship games in 50 years, hasn't been to a playoff since they last went to the conference championship game in 2010, and only has one winning season in the last 12 years. This man is going to literally go on a public forum and state how Aaron Rodgers could hurt. Well, what the hell has helped? I mean, you talk about a level of ignorance that is so clearly alarming. I got to wonder about Joe Klecko, who I like and respect, and his career with the Jets and all of this other stuff. But without question, it's going to go down as one of the most ignorant statements I have ever heard from a football player. Because the Jets don't have a history to lean on where you can sit up there and talk about what's being hurt. What's
Stephen
helped
A, we
in
have
the modern
to,
era.
We have to go, but to be fair, remember all the issues we heard early on with Aaron and not ingratiating himself with the young receiving core, and it took a while to get on the same page and that
Zach
whole
Wilson,
thing.
Matt,
so
Matt
I think
White.
He's talking about...
Zach Wilson, okay. Matt White.
Okay.
End of discussion. Right.
Fair enough. Tim, thanks so much.
Joker, how are you going to make it through the finals?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You look like you can barely make it through a Burger King drive-thru.
Kevin Durant, let's go.
You keep joining super teams to win the NBA title. How about we work out together sometime so I can teach you how to carry your own team?
Oh! All right, do the LeBron one and we're going to get out of here. But make this one count.
LeBron, I love your game, man.
No. Hey.
That was so good. Stephen A., he couldn't even be mean if he was trying. So that was Giannis last night on The Daily Show. And I want to make this clear. He was being prompted by the show in that skit to talk trash about his fellow stars. Obviously not something that he's used to. What'd you think?
Well, first of all, it was funny. Secondly, all the players know that, you know, it's a comedy show and stuff like that happens. And you try to get players or any guests to do certain things. There's no doubt about that. And it was all in fun. Those guys ain't taking something like that seriously.
Yeah.
But Giannis has a great, great personality. Got a high motor. Comes at it. We know he's a superstar in the league. But he knows how to have a good time. He's going to be he's a great, great, great ambassador for the global brand that has become the NBA. So I love seeing it. And I think him and Luka, they got great personalities.
Stephen A., I just have to pause you for 1 second. Can you imagine you in the league in terms of talking trash? You would have been a nightmare. Who? Unbelievable. You.
Oh, my Lord.
You would have been. Yeah, that you. Been
that would have been
wild. You.
Because I would have said it.
Never stumbled
said
a day in their lives.
Said everything he asked me to
you
say.
Absolutely would have. Yeah, it never held back. It would have been, oh, my gosh. When they keep the players mic'd up.
It'd be crazy.
Unreal. Absolutely unreal.
Oh, my Lord.
All good stuff. Hey, we covered a lot of ground. Really fun show. I will see you back here tomorrow. We've got Mad Dog joining us. JJ will be back. I'm sure there'll be some fodder continuing from that debate. And I'll see you guys in the morning.
Let's go.
Bye, Stephen A.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.